So we've been going through a kind of a new series in this season. It's Next, right? And talking about, okay, what's next? As a New Vine church and a community, we're looking forward, and we're looking forward for what God wants to do. So this morning I'm going to be talk sorry, afternoon. This afternoon I'm going to be talking about making Jesus Lord. And I'm going to be talking about lordship, lordship for ourselves, but also for us as a church. What does it look like to make Jesus Lord? And I think sometimes we like the idea as Jesus as our Savior, but sometimes Jesus as Lord is a little bit more difficult, right? Because to have Jesus save us, like, who doesn't like to be saved, right? Oh, yes, God, come and solve my problems, come and make me new and change me. But sometimes when it comes down to Jesus being the Lord, it means that I need to submit to God. I need to submit to his voice. And that's a little bit difficult. But this afternoon, we're going to be talking about that. And so I want us to read together from this passage. Okay, we got to connect this. Okay, there we go. This passage from Luke 9, 57 to 62. And this is the Passion Translation, and I was reading it, and I say, oh, this is very insightful. Okay, so let's read this together, The Cost to Follow Jesus. On their way, someone came up to Jesus and said, I want to follow you wherever you go. Jesus replied, yes, but remember this. Even animals in the field have holes in the ground to sleep in, and birds have their nests, but the Son of Man has no place here to lay down his head. Jesus then turned to another and said, come, be my disciple. He replied, someday I will, Lord, but allow me first to fulfill my duty as a good son and wait until my father passes away. Jesus told him, don't wait for your father's burial. Let those who are already dead wait for death. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere that God's kingdom has arrived. Still another said to him, Lord, I want to follow you too, but first let me go home and say goodbye to my entire family. Jesus responded, why do you keep looking backward to your past and have second thoughts about following me? When you turn back, you are useless to God's kingdom realm. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for this afternoon. Thank you for your word. Lord, we just ask that you would speak to us, God, on lordship. Jesus, you are both our Savior and our Lord. And God, you call us to follow you. You call us to follow Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that this afternoon we get a fresh revelation and a fresh picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus, to follow you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, when you read this passage, what are some of your impressions? So the context is that Jesus is walking with his disciples. They're preparing to go to Jerusalem. And they encounter several people. And there's three, right? The first person says, I want to follow you, God. I want to follow you, Jesus. And Jesus gives a rather interesting reply. And you would think that Jesus would say, oh, yeah, come on, like, follow me. But he actually makes him think twice, right? He says, the Son of Man has no place here to lay down his head. He's saying, you know, following me is not the most comfortable. Are you sure that you want to do this? Right? So that's the first person. And then the second person is actually doesn't approach Jesus, but Jesus approaches him and he says, come be my disciple. And this man replies, yes, Lord. And in the NIV translation or in other translations, it says, but first let me go bury my father. And I don't know about you, but when I read that, it's like, that's kind of interesting. Like, are you saying that his father just passed away and needs to go bury him or whatnot? And then when I was reading the Passion Translation and looking further, I said, it gives a little bit more insight. And it says in this translation, someday I will, Lord, but allow me first to fulfill my duty as a good son and wait until my father passes away. So he's basically saying, yes, but there are some familial duties and things that I have to do before I follow you, Jesus. And then Jesus gives this reply. He says, let the dead bury their own dead, or let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. But as for you, you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. That's strike two, right? Two people that could have followed Jesus, and then they end up not. And then let's look at the third one. The third person says, Lord, I want to follow you too, but first let me go home and say goodbye to my entire family. That seems like a pretty legitimate request, right? You say, I'm just going home and saying, I'm going, bye. And Jesus gives this very seemingly shocking answer. He says, why do you keep looking backward to your past and have second thoughts about following me? When you turn back, you are useless to God's kingdom realm. Pretty extreme, don't you think? I remember in the Old Testament, there's actually a similar story, and there's the prophet Elijah, and then another younger man named Elisha comes to him, and Elisha wants to follow Elijah. So he says, I will follow you, but first let me go and say goodbye to my family. And do you know what Elijah says to Elisha? He says, go back again, for what have I done to you? He's basically saying, go ahead, say goodbye to your family. So Elisha actually goes back, slaughters the oxen, and says goodbye to his family, and then he follows Elijah. So I thought it was very interesting. Now when Jesus, when someone comes to Jesus and says, let me say goodbye to my family, he's saying, you can't even say goodbye to your family. You come and follow me. Very interesting. So this afternoon, we're talking about lordship. But I want to cover two aspects of who Jesus Christ is. That Jesus Christ is my Savior, and Jesus Christ is my Lord. So say that to the person next to you. Jesus Christ is my Savior. Turn to the other person and say, Jesus Christ is my Lord. So what's the difference between the two? Let's read this from Romans 5, 6 through 9. You see, at just the right time, when we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since we have now been justified by his blood, how much more shall we be saved from God's wrath through him? Jesus Christ is our Savior. When we say that, we mean that all of us have sinned, and it's just the condition of who we are. And sin means that, number one, we are separated from God. But number two, it means that we experience death, eternal death and spiritual death. And there was nothing that we could do to save ourselves. But then Jesus Christ, who is the perfect sacrifice, came down from heaven and to earth. And out of his love, he died for us on the cross. So that when we accept Jesus as our Savior, we are saying, God, Jesus, thank you for dying on the cross for me. Thank you for saving me from my sin. And now I can be made new. Now I can be made a new creation. Now I am forgiven. Now I used to be a stranger to God, but now I can be his child. This is what it means that Jesus Christ is my Savior. Once upon a time, there was a son, and the son was very rebellious. And he lived in the house with his mom and his dad, but he decided to run away from home. And so he ran away from home, and he started doing some small petty crimes. And it started off just like shoplifting and taking things from the grocery store, and it turned bigger and bigger. And he started stealing more things and more things and more things. And he ran away from home, and he was gone for a number of years. And finally, it just so happened that one day, this son said, I'm going to break into this family's house at night and try to steal their 50-inch flat-screen TV. 75-inch flat-screen TV. That's more, no. Okay. And so he broke into the house, he smashed the window, and it turns out as he was taking the TV out, the man the man of the house came and he said, "What are you doing?" And he had a bat and they started fighting, and it ends up that the boy, the son, ended up killing the father, the dad, no, the guy, right? Then the police arrived, they arrested him, and they took him to court. And so the son goes to court, and lo and behold, once he gets into court, he sees the judge, and it's his father. And the father sees his son. He's like, and then so they go through the whole trial, and he says, "Well, the evidence is quite clear that you killed this man, and now the penalty for it is that you have to die." And now the father sees his son, whom he loves so much, and he's caught in a dilemma. He says, "I'm the judge, and I have to pronounce the sentence on my son. But yet I love him, and I want to save him." What could the father do? So the father said to the son, "You are guilty, and I thereby sentence you to death." But then after he said that, the father took off his robe, his judge robe, stepped down, and walked right up to his son. He said, "But I am going to take your place." And so he stood in the place of his son, and he let his son go. It's just an illustration of what God did for us, right? We were all sinners. We deserved to die. But God loved us so much that he sent his son to die in our place. And because of that, we're set free. We can be set free from all of our sin, and that we can be reunited with God. That's what it means for Jesus Christ to be our Savior. Jesus Christ is my Lord. Let's read Matthew 16, 24 to 28. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it, but whoever loses their life for me will find it." When we're talking about making Jesus our Lord, we're talking about lordship. So what is lordship? Lordship is when we yield our life to the will and control of Jesus Christ. To make someone your Lord is saying, "My whole life, everything I do, I am yielding to your will and your control, Jesus." And so to make Jesus Christ our Lord is to say, "Jesus, whatever you desire to do in my life, I want to obey. I want to follow you. I want to pick up my cross, no matter how difficult it is." And then from that point on, when we're saved, we live the rest of our life for Jesus as our Lord. It's kind of like you're driving in a car, and you're driving along the road, you're sitting, and then suddenly you see this guy on the side of the road, and he's holding on his hand like this. And you look closer, and he's like, "Hey, that's Jesus. It's Jesus. He's asking for a ride." So you slow down your car, and you roll down your window and say, "Jesus, what are you doing?" He's like, "Can I get a ride?" He's like, "Yeah, come on." And then so you reach down over here, and you pop the trunk. Boom. You say, "Get in the back, Jesus." And so Jesus hops into the back, and then you close the trunk, and you just keep going wherever you are going. Right? Sometimes that's how we live our Christian life. But what's the more correct picture? Right? You're like, roll down your window and say, "Jesus, what are you doing? Can I get a ride?" You say, "Yeah, yeah, yeah." And then he's just standing there. You pop the trunk, and you say, he's just standing there. You say, "Get in the back." You say, "No, I don't want to get in the back." "Oh, where do you want to be?" You say, "I need to be in the driver's seat." And he's like, "What?" You say, "Oh." So you unbuckle, you get out of the car, and then you stand there, and then Jesus comes and sits in your driver's seat. And he's like, "Where do I sit, God?" He's like, "Oh, you sit over there." Oh, he says, you go around to the other side of the car, and you get in the passenger seat. And you say, "Well, you know, I have to run a couple errands today. I was planning to go to the grocery store, and then I have to mail this letter." And Jesus says, "Oh, we're not going to do that today. We're going to go somewhere else." He's like, "Wait, what? What?" He's like, "Yeah, well, who's driving the car?" "You are." "Okay, well, we're going where I'm going." That's kind of what it looks like sometimes when we make Jesus Christ our Lord, right? You're no longer in the driver's seat. Jesus is. And wherever he wants to go, you follow, right? It's that old joke, right? When you're on a road trip and the husband is driving and the wife is sitting in the seat, and then the husband gets lost, right? And say, and then the wife is like, I think you should go this way or that way. And the husband is like, no, I know how to get there. And you just keep getting lost and lost. And the wife says, why don't you just stop and ask for directions? And the husband is like, because I know where I'm going, right? It's kind of like that, all right? So when Jesus Christ is your Lord, he is the driver. He gets to decide where you are going. And our response is not to be a backseat driver, but to say, okay, let's go there, all right? So Jesus is the opposite of Uber and Lyft, all right? Jesus is not taking you where you want to go. He's taking you where he wants you to go, all right? Another, how many of you frequently or sometimes go and visit a friend's house? You go to a friend's house and, okay, and you like going and visiting, and or your friend will invite you over, say, hey, come over for lunch or come over for dinner or come over for, I don't know, whatever people do, right? And you go in, and how many of you can relate? When you go into your friend's house, you look at some stuff around their house and you're like, why did they put that there? It's like, how long has that painting been hanging on that wall? It's like, ooh, that, I don't want to really sit on that couch. It's like a little bit old. How many of you have ever gone to someone's house and you're like, if this was my house, I would not arrange it this way, right? Sometimes we're like that, right? Now, how crazy would it be if you went over to your friend's house and you started seeing all the things that are wrong? Like, okay, you walk into this room. Wow, there are way too many posters on the side of this wall, right? We got to get rid of this. Just make a yearbook and just put it into one book and put it in the back, right? And then you start taking down all these things, right? So what if you went to your friend's house and you started throwing everything away, right? You can't do that, right? Why? Because it's not your house, right? Your friend would be, what are you doing? Say, I'm just helping you. I'm just like helping you do some renovation here. Your friend's like, this is my house, right? Sometimes we're like that with Jesus. He's like, Jesus, come over to my house, you know? Jesus comes over to your house and he's like, what is this? And he starts throwing stuff away. You say, Jesus, what are you doing? He said, you invited me to your house. I'm just changing your life. Say, well, this is my house, all right? So when you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're literally giving your house over to Jesus. And then Jesus is going to come in and do renovations, all right? Do you want Jesus to come and do renovations at your house? Maybe. Some of us maybe, right? Have some of you on Netflix, there's this show that's getting quite popular. It's called Cleaning Up, Tidying Up with Marie Kondo. Has anyone seen that? So it's this show, right? People, like, there's hoarders, right? And they invite this woman to come, and it's this small Japanese woman. And so she goes over to the house, and she can't really speak English, so she has a translator. And so she looks around the house, and she's, like, really smiling. She's like, oh, you know, you can throw this away, throw that away, that, right, you know? And so the point of the show is that the family has to take her advice and to throw all these things away. And hopefully by the end of the show, their home is a lot cleaner, right? Now, you know, so, but Marie, she can only give certain advice, right? She can't start throwing everything away. She can only suggest, right? So like she goes to this one family's house and the parents literally put the children's clothes on one of those wire racks. You know, like those metal storage wire racks that you can kind of put together. And so Marie is like very friendly. She's like, I might suggest that the kids will eventually get their own dresser, right? And I'm looking, it's like, no, they need a dresser. You can't put clothes like that, all right? Sometimes we think that Jesus is like that. He comes in and makes some suggestions. I might suggest that you might do this. And I'm like, thanks for the input, Jesus. I'll think about it, and then I'll make the decision later. Actually, that's not how lordship works at all. When Jesus comes to your house, he says, do this, do this, do this. It's like, yes, sir, all right? And so Jesus is not like Marie Kondo. He can come in and, you know, next day he's like bringing one of those bobcats and like demolishing one room of your house, all right? That's sometimes how it looks like when Jesus is our Lord, okay? Now, I want to talk about the three people or the three issues that Jesus addresses, okay? The first one is the comfortable. So Jesus says to the first person, the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. And then the second person is the preoccupied, the person that said, let me bury my father. Let me attend to the household things that I need to do first before I follow you. And then the third person is the regretter. That's what I said, named it, okay? Let me say goodbye to my family. Let me look back at my past and look back and say, oh, like, but I didn't, you know, the regretter, okay? So let's look at this one. Let's read that top part of the verse, okay? 1, 2, 3. Let the spiritually dead bury their own dead, but you proclaim the kingdom of God. So what Jesus is saying here is that your preoccupation, the main focus of your life is the kingdom of God, not yourself. The point of our life as Christians, as the church, as believers, is that my preoccupation is about the kingdom of God. How can I use my life to further God's kingdom? How can I steward my job, my family, my life to further the kingdom of God? And I think this is a wonderful and correct way of viewing our lives. It's not, how can I use my job for achieving what I want to do? Or how can I form my family into what I want them to be? Or how can I make enough, get enough, buy enough so that I will eventually feel secure or happy? When you are a believer, when you're a Christian, those things are not the focus of your life anymore. The focus of your life is furthering the kingdom of God and the preaching and spreading of the gospel. And so our goal is to know God and make him known. And so this guy that said, Jesus, I will follow you, but let me go bury my father. So Jesus is giving him, is saying something that brings right to front what is the issue with this man, is that he is not willing to let go all the things that he considers important for the kingdom of God. And so the man was preoccupied with all of these things and not focusing on the main mission and vision that Jesus was inviting him into, which was come follow me for the kingdom of God. I was a couple years ago, I was in New York, and then before I was in New York, I was living in Southern California, and I was running my clothing business down there. I started a clothing business, and then I was working part-time staff as a college intern at a church. And I felt like, I said to myself at that time, I'll probably be in Southern California for a while because I have a job going, my community is down here and whatnot. And then one day I heard from the Lord very clearly. He said to me that he wanted me to pack up everything and come back here to the Bay Area. And he said, I want you to spend the next 3 months and put on hold your clothing business and step down from your college position at this church and just go home and spend time with your family, spend time with me. And then I said to the Lord, what's next? What happens after that? Do I come back down to SoCal? And the Lord specifically didn't tell me what happens next. And I said to God in that moment, I said, okay, because I felt like I heard it so clearly. So I said, all right, Lord, if that's what you say. And so in the next 2 weeks, I stepped down. I told my boss that I'm going to be stepping down from serving at the church. And I put the clothing business on hold. And I was living with Angus. And I said, Angus, I'm going home to the Bay Area. And I packed everything in my car and I drove back home. And I think that was one of the tests or one of the ways that the Lord was really stretching me. But a couple years before, I had made a commitment to the Lord that, and I said to God, God, the next time you ask me to do something, I just want to obey. I just want to do it right away. And if I know I'm hearing you, I don't want to wrestle with you for several months. if the window is open and God opens the door, I want to be able to run through the door before the door closes. And so for me, that was one of the ways that I felt like I was doing this. Like I heard God call me and say, just go home. And I'm not telling you what happens after that, but just go home. And so I said, all right. And I kind of regretted after I got back, went up to NorCal, because it's like, I'm not doing anything up here, right? And I said, I don't have my friends from SoCal and everything. But sometimes in your life, God will ask you to make changes. In this instance, it was really big, right? In some instances, it's smaller. But it doesn't matter if it's a small thing that the Lord asks or if a big thing. It's still the call of Jesus. You know what I mean? And so our posture is to say, yes, Lord, I will obey. Let's talk about the second, okay? The comfortable. Let's read that verse up there. The Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. So when Jesus was saying he has nowhere to lay his head, he's saying that, are you sure you want to follow me? You know, the birds have their nests and foxes have their holes. Everybody has a place to stay. But you know where I'm going, it's not guaranteed that it's going to be the most comfortable. And so when we're following Jesus, we are literally saying that we are laying aside comfort. What I know, what I have, what I am used to. Following Jesus sometimes is hard, right? Sometimes it's uncomfortable and it's risky. But above all of those things, we're saying, I am willing to yield to the will and the control of Jesus Christ. How many of you can think of a moment maybe in your life or in the past where God has asked you to make a step or a move that was really uncomfortable? And in the moment, it's like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen. How are things going to be provided for? But then you stepped in obedience and you followed the call of Jesus. And every single time, the Lord comes through. Isn't it true? And so sometimes when we're uncomfortable, it's not the end of the world. So we're saying that following Jesus means that we're laying aside our comfort. All right, the last one, regretter. Let's read this. No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back to the things left behind is fit for the kingdom of God. So it's saying that I am not looking back to what I left or lost before Christ. For some of you that became Christians, or some of you that accepted Jesus, you had to make a lot of sacrifices, right? When we follow Jesus, we're saying all of those things that I gave up for Christ, I'm not constantly looking back at it. I'm looking forward with joy and the mission and the vision that the Lord has for me, not looking backwards with regret. Cheryl was preaching this message earlier, and she gave this quote from Jim Elliot, and I changed it to first person. But let's read that together, where it says, I am no fool. I am no fool to give what I cannot keep to gain what I cannot lose. Every time you follow Jesus, you win. Every time you give up something for Jesus and you obey, it's a win, right? Because it's not like you're giving up something for something worse. God always has his best for us. And so saying, I have decided to follow Jesus means that I'm not looking back at all the things that I left behind. There's a song that says, I have decided to follow Jesus. Do you guys know it? If you know it, I invite you to sing along with me, because I feel like it perfectly encapsulates not regretting, not looking back. Let's sing this together. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. The cross before me, the world behind me. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. Amen. So making Jesus Lord, the comfortable, we're laying down our comfort. The preoccupied, we're saying, God, your kingdom first, and then not regretting, saying that I've decided to follow Jesus. I'm not looking back, but I'm looking forward to what God has for me. Repeat after me. Following Jesus is the best way to go. Amen? Let's say it one more time. Following Jesus is the best way to go. You always come out winning when you choose to follow Jesus. You know, sometimes we think that lordship is a burdensome thing, right? For the Chinese, we say it's so mafan sometimes. Like, situation is so mafan. And sometimes if we're honest, like, ah, oh, Jesus, why are you asking me to do this? Like, it's so troublesome. It's so burdensome. But I want us to change that mentality today, that lordship is not burdensome. It's actually joyful. Did you know that God has better plans than the plans that you can make yourself? Do you know that God wants to take you higher and further than what you are even capable of doing? So a life of lordship is a life of following after Jesus Christ. So from some of the things that I have been learning and walking in this process of lordship, I accepted Jesus when I was 12 years old. And now I'm 28, 16 years, right? Almost 17. Some of the things that I'm learning as I walk out my relationship and path with the Lord is that my first calling is to the Lord himself. Sometimes we think that, okay, God, what job do you want me to do? Where do you want me to be? But what has been very helpful for me is remembering that actually, God, I am called to you. And wherever the Lord leads me and whatever season he leads me in, I'm not lost because I know that as long as I'm following Jesus, I'm okay. So sometimes your job may change. Sometimes the location of where you live. Sometimes the season changes. But it doesn't matter because the first calling is to Jesus himself. Another thing that has been helpful for me is that my life is total surrender. That I am not withholding anything in my life from Jesus. That if God wants to take or change things or tweak things, like I want to reach a place that I'm okay with it. And honestly, there are a lot of times where God asks me to give up something and it's really hard for me. And I struggle with that. But I want to reach a place that if God asks me to lay down, surrender, go, do, speak, pray for someone, like I want to learn to be saying yes, Lord, because my life is total surrender. The last thing that has been helpful for me is that whatever I have in my life, the gifts, the resources, the talents, the money, I hold it with open hands as I stay sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading. And I think this is a good posture to take in our life, is that everything we have is holding with open hands. So sometimes God is not asking you, like, drop everything and do something completely different, right? Sometimes he does, but sometimes God is saying, the things that I have given you, I want you to steward it, right? So sometimes it's surrender, sometimes it's stewardship. And so part of the discernment process is learning, God, what have you asked me to steward well in this season? What have you asked me to surrender? And I want to share a journey of lordship that happened to me that I did not expect what happened, but God kind of led me in this process and I learned a lot. And so when I was in college, I was at UC Irvine and I was in Orange County in Irvine. It's below Los Angeles. So I was there in college and I used to design things on the computer, like make some like graphic design. And I didn't take any classes. I would just play on Photoshop. But one time my friend Phil, he said to me, "Hey, L, I heard of this phrase, rep the king." He said, you know, represent the king, but it says rep the king. And he said, "You should make a design and put it on a t-shirt or something." And so I said, okay. And so I played on Photoshop and I went to Target and I bought some crew neck sweaters. I bought 5 crew neck sweaters and I took it to a printer and I took it to the printer and said, "Can you print this design?" And he said, "Sure." And so I printed it and then I wore it like this. This is when I was a little bit thinner, all right? So I printed these sweaters, right? And I took it to my college fellowship and I just to see who'd be interested. And immediately my friend saw and said, "Hey, that's a cool sweater. I'll get one. How much?" And I said, $20. So they said, "Okay, $20." So I sold all 5 of them, right? And my other friend said, "Hey, that's pretty cool. Like, I would buy a sweater." So I said, "Okay, let me just take an order." So I asked my friends, I posted this and I said, "Anybody want this sweater? Just message me and whatnot." And so I got 30 orders of sweaters. So I got 30 people that want a sweater. So I said, "Okay, cool." So I went back to the printer and I said, "Can I print 30 more of these?" And he's like, "Sure." So I paid him and then I brought it back to my college fellowship and I gave the 30 sweaters out. And then other people in my college fellowship saw it, because the college fellowship was pretty big, maybe 100 people or so. So they said, "I want a sweater." So I said, "Okay, I'll just print some more." So I did a second order and got more. And so I went back to the printer. I said, "Can I print more?" And so this was right around the start of 2012. And so from January 2012, I started printing these sweaters. And it started spreading. So after I did the second batch, then more people saw it and they're like, "I want one," and whatnot. So a second batch turned into a third batch, a fourth batch, a fifth batch. By April, which was 4 months' time, I had sold close to 600 sweaters. And it was just spreading through word of mouth. So people would wear it on my college campus and then other campus fellowships would see it and say, "Can I get that sweater?" And so they come back to me and they said, "Hey, my friend, a friend of a friend wants a sweater," and so whatnot. So I just started up this very makeshift system online. So I made a Google form that said size, color, whatnot. And then I created a link to PayPal and said, "Wire me money." And then I said, "Meet me in 3 weeks on the college campus plaza and I'll be there with a box and I'll check off your name and then I'll give you the sweater." So I was just doing this and I was doing it for like 4 months, right? And then finally, I was talking to someone in my church at the time in Irvine, and the pastor said, "Hey, I heard about what you're doing, how you're selling these sweaters." He said, "Let me connect you to 2 business guys in our church and maybe they can help you out." So I said, "Okay." And so I met with these 2 business guys in the church, and they basically met with me and they said, "Hey, we love what you're doing. We think it has potential. We want to help you set this up as a company." And so one of the guys says, I do t-shirts. I print them. I can handle all your distribution and we'll help you set up a website and a shipping system. And we can do this as a business." And he's like, "Let us know what you think." And so there I was as a college senior, not knowing what I wanted to do with my life, because I studied international studies and it wasn't exactly the most useful unless you go back to school for more schooling. And so I was like, "Okay, I'll think about it," right? And so I was kind of thinking about it. I was like, "Oh, I don't know what I want to do after graduation." And that week I had a dream. And in my dream, I was in a concert hall and kind of like this. And I was like standing on stage and behind the curtain, and the band was, my orchestra band was up in front playing the instruments, and then my band teacher was conducting, and then the audience was out in the front. And I'm standing behind stage, behind the curtain, And suddenly I realized, for whatever reason, I said, oh, it's my turn to conduct. So I look at myself and I have a suit on, but I look at my feet and I don't have any shoes. So I said, oh, I need a pair of shoes. So I start going behind stage asking people. I said, anybody have a pair of shoes I can borrow? And nobody gives me a pair of shoes. But I kept asking and asking. And finally, some guy gives me a pair of his old tennis shoes. So I just slip on the tennis shoes really fast. And I ran to the front of the stage and I began conducting. And then that was the dream. And I woke up from the dream and I was like, very interesting. But I didn't know what it meant, right? It's like, how do you even interpret that dream, right? And then 1 week later, I'm at my pastor's house at a home group meeting, and the meeting had just ended. So people were chatting with each other, and I was chatting with this guy, and I was telling him, I said, yeah, I've been selling these sweaters on campus. I don't know what to do. I just want to stay open to how the Holy Spirit may be leading. And so he was listening, and he said this as a passing comment. He said, he said, yeah, sounds like God is orchestrating things for you. You just need the shoes to walk in faith and obedience. And I heard him say that. I was like, whoa. And I said, maybe this is God. And so I shared with him the dream. And he's like, oh, that's cool. And I say, and you know, so I felt like in that moment, I felt like God was saying to me, do you want to do this? And it's like he was asking me, you can take it if you want. And if you want it, you can take this opportunity and learn and grow. And I'll teach you along the way. And so I made the decision. I said, okay, God, if this is how you're leading or if this is a door that you're opening, I'll take it. So after graduation from college, I started it up and I turned it into a clothing business. We set it up online. And basically, I started going around SoCal, you know, partnering with churches and conferences, setting up pop-up shops, going to night markets and just selling Kingdom Culture. Kingdom Culture was the name of the clothing brand that I started. And it was really cool because I didn't have any experience in business before, but it just kind of virally or like just caught on. And I cannot say that I did anything to make it grow like that. I felt like there was an element of God allowing for it or divine working that allowed the Lord to maybe just step into this and experience a lot of cool things along the way. And it was exciting and it was fun. And some of you were part of that journey and it was really cool. So let me show you some pictures. So Kingdom Culture, that was the brand, and then created the sweater. And let me show you some of the other things that we created. So we did graphic printed apparel. All right. Then we moved into custom sew and print pocket tees. Other printed things. These are all my friends. So I just made them say, can you pretend to be a model? And then I'd take my other friend's old DSLR and I'd just snap photos. I got to partner with different artists. You know them? So my friends would help me on the weekends, and we set up pop-up shops, and we go to San Diego, we go to LA. I think this one was in LA, right? But you came with us, and Angus and Jessica. This was where we printed the sweaters. So I would go to the printing shop several times a week. And every so often, we print a new batch. So this is like one of the larger batches. This is when I just started. So in those first couple months, one time I got an order of like 200 sweaters. 200 people different wanted a sweater. And I was like, oh, shoot. And so I went back to the printer and I said, can you print 200 sweaters for me? He's like, sure, that'll be X amount of dollars. And I looked at my bank account and I said, that's basically all the money in my bank account. So I emptied my whole bank account to print these 200 sweaters, and I brought it back to the apartment and I just laid it all out on the sofa. And that week I was driving on half a tank of gas and I was like, I hope these people pay me back. That's before I set it up as a business. And so I put it in the trunk of my car and literally I say, okay, meet me. And then I just take it from the trunk of my car and I just hand it. Covering my bed. This is the makeshift storage we had in the printing shop. One time we did a Black Friday order. We said 50% off on all sweaters. We got like 400 orders. And so for the next several days, I was working with this guy's Paul, and we're just bagging and shipping all of these sweaters out. And then we would go and set up pop-up shops at conferences, at churches, and things like that. Got to meet different artists. This one is Tim B. Told. This is Shane and Shane. This is a Korean sister duo on YouTube, J.S. Lee, Janice, and Sonia. This is some K-pop group. The girl on the bottom right was wearing one of our sweaters. And I don't know how she got it, but she did. And they're worshiping a dog. I don't know why they're doing that. This is one of my friends, Stephen Lim. He's on YouTube, on BuzzFeed. You know, he has his dyed bleached hair now. And I met him in SoCal. And he wears a sweater sometimes, if you see it. This is AC Green from the Lakers. So anyway, it was very exciting, right? And it was like all these different opportunities. So going back to what I said, lordship is not boring, okay? It's not burdensome. Actually, when Jesus invites us to step into the places of risk and uncomfortable, sometimes he has a better idea than we can ever plan. And so this is what I want us to really think about today. How is Jesus asking me to follow him faithfully in this season, in your season of your life? Okay? In what ways do I need to submit to him as Lord? What is he asking me to surrender? And what is he asking me to steward? So I want to give us some time before we close to really reflect on some of these things. And maybe Danny, you could just come up and play. But let's just really move into a time where we come before the Lord and allow him to speak to us. So the invitation of Jesus is, come, follow me. Come as you submit your whole life to yielding to the will and the control and the trust of Jesus. And so for some of us, for every one of us, that looks different, right? You know, I'm not saying that once you follow Jesus, he's going to cause you to drop everything and start something completely new. You know, maybe lordship looks like stewarding your family well in this season. Maybe lordship looks like coming to your job a little bit more intentionally and saying, God, how can you be glorified in this? So maybe you can spend some time and just close your eyes and take some time just to hear from the Lord, hear from the Holy Spirit. And ask the Lord, God, how are you asking me to follow you faithfully? Are there any ways that I need to submit to you? Are there any things you want me to surrender? Anything you want me to steward? So we'll just take a minute or so to listen. We say that we want to follow you. God, that when you call us to follow you, we want to follow you with our whole lives, Lord. We want to follow you faithfully, Lord. So God, we come before you and we just submit our lives to you again. We submit every part of our life, God, to you. And we just lay down anything, God, that you're asking us to lay down. God, we say that we want to steward all the talents and the gifts and the resources that you have given us, not for ourselves, not for our self-gain, but for your kingdom, Lord. So, Lord, I ask Holy Spirit, would you just speak your wisdom and deeper into all the things that you've entrusted to us during this season and how we can use it for you, Lord, and use it to serve you. Lastly, I want us to spend some time in groups and just pray for New Vine as a church. So Lordship is both for ourselves, our personal lives, but also for us as a church. And I want us to get into groups and you just spend some time praying for this church. Pray that New Vine would be a church that we hear the call of Jesus and that boldly and fearlessly we follow his voice. And so can we stand and you can just find a group, maybe three to five people, but just spend a couple minutes and pray for our body in this church, that we would just be people that obey and that this would be a church that submits to the Lordship, to following Jesus. Spend a couple minutes just praying. So Lord, we lift up New Vine to you, God. We lift up this church and our community. God, we say that we want to be a people that follows the voice and the call of Jesus. And so Lord, today we lay down all, even our own comfort, God, that even if you're calling us into uncomfortable places, that we'd be willing to follow, that we'll lay down even our own things, God, or our own plans, God, or plans even as this church, God. But if you're asking us as a church to move in a certain direction, Lord, that we would just follow the voice of the Lord. And lastly, Lord, that we would always look forward and see what God has for us, God, and not look back and saying, look at the things that we lost or anything like that. So Jesus, we commit and say today that following Jesus is the best way to go. And Lord, we lift this up as the cry of this church, God, and also for us in our personal lives, Lord. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.